Sri Lanka's president has confirmed the state of emergency imposed after months of widespread protests will end this week. The move could bring some much-needed calm to the island country, which has been paralysed by political and economic crises for much of the year. The country is negotiating with the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, over a $3 billion US bailout package, which business leaders say is desperately needed. Dilhan Fernando is the chief executive of one of the country's largest companies, tea exporter Dilma. He joins you now from our Sydney studio. Welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you, Patricia. Happy to be here.
These months of protests are finally petering out, but they come about because people were so angry and frustrated with the country's almost total economic collapse, daily power cuts and shortages of basics like fuel and food and medicines, things that you need to survive, and inflation at more than 50%. What has the effect been on business?
Well, initially the effect was severe, but there was an achievement, there was an objective to be achieved. And what the peaceful, largely peaceful and popular protests, it was a groundswell that led to this situation, which we call the Aragalea, the struggle, which has since been dismantled. But it achieved its objective because they wanted change. Of course, now the next stage of change is yet to happen. But in that process, of course, it was more the symptoms of the economic collapse that affected business, because there was a shortage of fuel, shortage of food and so on. We are not over the worst of it as yet, since the shortage of fuel and the queues have subsided. But the food security, the medicines and so on, these are areas that we are working on. But we have the most important ingredient, which is stability. And we have a semblance of unity amongst the government, which is what the people need now as we begin to build the economic fundamentals.
Ranil Wickremesinghe was elected president just under a month ago after his predecessor fled. He's a former six-time prime minister as well. Can any long-term and lasting change come under his leadership?
Well, it certainly looks that way. Some people are sceptical, but looking at what he has done, you know, at the heart of the issue, Patricia, is the fact that Sri Lanka has been living beyond its means. We have had populist policies from governments since independence, as a result of which the core economic drivers, balancing our books simply, building exports, getting more sustainable FDI has not happened. So today, or at least yesterday in Sri Lanka, he's announced a raft of privatization measures, which is critical because the government is spending beyond its means. And once that is fixed, you have the beginnings of the requirement that the IMF are demanding, and then you have the beginnings of restoration. It's going to be a hard 2 years, but we have, at least with these fundamental issues being fixed, with the Petroleum Corporation being privatized, with Sri Lankan Airlines, etc., which are really bleeding money for years, and in many cases are not industries that the government should be involved in or has the capability to be involved in. But with those fixed, we have the prospect of growth at least 2 years down the line.
The Sri Lankan government is in talks with the IMF for a $3 billion US bailout after it defaulted on debt repayments. Will the interim government be able to provide the stability needed to ensure that loan comes through?
Well, the first step in that process was acknowledgement of the problem and the necessity to go to the IMF. That has been achieved. It has been the second step has also been achieved in terms of having unanimous agreement and constructive dialogue towards fixing the problems, the privatizations, addressing government expenditure principally, but also beginning to build a platform on which we could welcome FDI and also galvanize local industries, export industries, because ultimately that's a key part of what of the solution that is required. So yes, I think it can be achieved politically. I think the president still has a few challenges, because we haven't had elections. We can't afford elections, or at least it's not a priority right now. But we have the most important ingredient: stability, acknowledgement of our problem, and the beginning of an attempt to fix it.
Australia is looking to strengthen our relationships with countries in the Indian Ocean, in part to counter China's push to spread its own influence there. We do have a strong relationship with Sri Lanka on border protection and preventing people smuggling, but what else is needed to make that relationship stronger in your view?
We celebrate 75 years of friendship with Australia this year. Australia has been an incredible friend. It's not just your cricketers who came, encouraged us at a time when the world closed their doors on Sri Lanka. But beyond that, Australia in Sri Lanka is working towards building skills. We work with your skills development units in the embassy in Sri Lanka, in the High Commission. We're training chefs. There's so much going on in the area of the environment, sustainable agriculture. I believe Australia is punching well above its weight where the relationship with Sri Lanka and the economic relationships are concerned. But at this point, all we ask is please visit us. Sri Lanka is safe. It's welcoming. The queues have disappeared with the assistance of technology, and that's what we need.
Just finally, before I let you go, what about China? The country has just allowed a satellite tracking vessel, which China says is a research ship, to land at a Sri Lankan port against the wishes of the US and India. Does that suggest the interim government wants to keep China on side?
Well, you know, we are a little island. We depend on the world, China, India, the US, and we have been a little bit of a political or geopolitical football in the past, and we can't afford to allow that to happen. Quite simply, we also can't afford to make grand political or international statements. So we need to keep our friendships. China is a significant creditor, as is India. We can't afford to upset any of them. And I think that it's quite an unfair situation that the president was put in. We have this research ship, which is allegedly also something more. But at this point, yes, I believe the ship has docked. But it's not a choice that we're at liberty to make simply because of the economic reality behind it.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Patricia.
Dilhan Fernando is the chief executive of Dilma Tea, and this is ABC RN Breakfast.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.